In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. Of this gospel, I have become a servant and minister, as the RSV translates, according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of God's power. The third chapter of Paul's letter to the Ephesians speaks of God's grace that was hidden from many generations, but has now been revealed to the whole world through the life of Christ. Reading this text on Epiphany reminds us that today we not only celebrate the revelation of the infant Jesus to the Magi, but we also celebrate the revelation of God's saving power that was made manifest through the ministry, death, and resurrection of the adult Jesus. We celebrate the good news that was spoken into the world by Christ and through Christ, writes the Reverend Andrea Lasonde Anastos, a Unitarian Universalist pastor, preacher, writer, spiritual companion, and coach. She continues, Epiphany is not only something that happens at us or around us, it is something that happens to us and within us. God chose to embody God's power in human form. And through that embodiment, which we call the incarnation, to offer us a grace-filled way to experience God's presence with us and within us. That revelation of God's presence with us in visceral form in time and space invites our response. Epiphany is not only something that happens at us, it is something that happens to us. We become servants and ministers in the light of love and truth manifested to us in Emmanuel, God with us. Of this gospel, I have become a servant and minister according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of God's power. Paul's words and Paul's response encourage us to consider what our response might be. Many of us live our Christianity as if it were something that happens at us from the outside. But Christianity cannot be shrugged into like a warm overcoat. It isn't something separate from us that we can pick up when it's convenient or necessary and put down when it's inconvenient. Or when we think our own skills, our intelligence, and charisma can serve us just as well. Christianity is rather an inner and wholehearted response to God's grace made manifest for us in this temporal universe. Epiphany comes at a critical time in the church year. Even the least susceptible of us have just been assaulted for weeks on end by the commercialism of the season. The culture around us has blatantly appropriated Advent and Christmas for its own agenda. Without in any way wanting to, most of us have been nudged or charmed into oversimplifying the spiritual meaning of this holy season. If we have been able to fit church going into our busy holiday schedule, the scripture lessons concerning the end time, which invite us to prepare our souls and spirits for the second coming, pass most of us by in an unfocused blur, lost under the rather constant blare of Christmas carols crackling from the loudspeakers in the mall. Reverend Anastos continues, into this disjointed confusion comes Epiphany, and the promise to the Gentiles that they too are recipients of God's grace, members of one body and fellow heirs with Christ of God's kingdom. I don't know about you, but I need to hear that right now. Because secular Christmas, more than any other single event in the year, encourages me to see myself as the Gentiles were once seen, as an outsider with no need to respond to God, rather than as one of God's chosen and beloved, deeply called to respond. And how easily I forget, in the euphoria of writing checks to worthy causes, that Jesus never wrote a check in his life. Instead, he made the risky choice to touch people. Epiphany is a celebration of that ultimate risk to touch humanity through human form. And how easily I forget that my check means nothing to God without my presence to God and with God's people. A presence of prayer, voice, act of concern, care, and offering myself when and where I can touch and bring love in myriad form to God's people. Of this gospel, I have become a servant and minister according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of God's power. Paul's words remind us that God needs more than our money or our good wishes. God needs us. God needs our presence, just as we need God's presence. God asks us to respond to the good news by being present, by speaking out against violence and hatred, by serving, by ministering, as God was and is present for us, and as we are served and ministered unto. Epiphany is a change within us that happens when, in reaching out to meet the God who comes to meet us, God's power works through us to bring God's grace to those who are in darkness. The darkness of oppression, the darkness of despair, the darkness of doubt, the darkness of addiction, the darkness of brain health challenges, the darkness of fleeing a homeland in search of safety and finding no safe haven, the darkness of prejudice or hatred or anger or fear. As Joe Kay writes in his article, "The Story of the Magi is an Invitation. Will we show up?" The Magi take the story of Jesus' birth to a wholly different level and shows us what it means to live in this newborn king's spirit. The Magi were strangers from a different nation, different culture, different ethnic background, and they cross borders to follow a light. They head for the most logical place. They assume the mighty king must know what this means, and so they visit the castle first. And the king, like most of the rich, powerful, and the pious of that day, is oblivious. So are his religious advisors. Sure, they know scripture and prophecy, but they know nothing of the actual Jesus. So the king sends the Magi on their way and orders them to return after finding the child. They follow the light to a shocking, unexpected, and deeply unsettling place. The light leads them to a front and center spot in the Christmas story, while the powerful and observant are left behind. So now the story gets interesting. The Magi are legally obligated to follow the king's commands while they're in his land. So in an act of civil disobedience, they refuse the unjust command and go home by another route. Kay continues, enraged that he didn't get things his way, the king issues a directive that will cause harm. So Mary and Joseph find themselves thrust into the role of refugees fleeing danger and crossing a border to save their child's life. They enter a foreign land uninvited, relying upon the kindness of strangers of a different nature, different culture, different religion to keep them alive. This story, so familiar in many ways and often not heard in these particulars, takes aim on our notions of nationalism and religious superiority. It tears down the theological, social, and political walls that we try to build between ourselves and others who are different from us. And it challenges us to do the same in faithfulness to this child in our manger scenes, and more importantly, incarnate within us. This story didn't end 2,000 years ago. It plays out in our world today in so many familiar ways. And we too are invited to have a role in the story, just like the Magi. Will we be the servants of our God of love, as we are called to be, and play our parts and fulfill our roles as disciples of this Jesus in our day? Do we have the courage to follow the light to places we would have never considered going? Can we allow the notions of insiders and outsiders to get turned upside down? Or will we let the notion that only some people are deserving of God's love and our own love go unquestioned? In the words of one of our confessions, will we continue to allow evil to be done on our behalf? Can we choose to see Jesus in the face of every poor, hungry, unhoused person, every refugee, in the face of every person different from us? Can we see the face of Jesus in every person who knows what it's like to live in fear and rely on the kindness and faithful generosity of strangers? The hotel that we stay at when visiting family in New England is often host to a large Hasidic Jewish community from New Jersey who gather there in a welcoming and hospitable place to safely celebrate their high holy days together. Just days ago, I stopped to say Hag Hanukkah Sameach, wishing one family I have seen often a very happy Hanukkah. We chatted for a few minutes, and they told me how dangerous it was becoming after the attacks in New York City and Jersey City at Hanukkah celebrations, and especially for them, because they are more easily identified by their traditional clothing and the men and boys' peyote or sidelocks. And I told them that I was keeping them in prayer and that I would speak out, I would use my voice and my vote and be a strong ally. We said our farewells until we meet again. And this all got me thinking about the Magi and the fear of the other that is manifested in hatred, as we see in the vicious rule of King Herod. Dear ones, God is love, and all people are made beautifully in the image of that loving God. And if it's not about love, it's not about God. Now, I know you know this, and I know you believe this. Can we live this? Joe Kay ends his article with, "Can we choose to see Jesus in the face of every poor, hungry, unhoused person and every refugee? Can we choose to see in the face of every person different from us our God? Can we see the face of Jesus in every person who knows what it's like to live in fear and has to rely on us? Or will we choose instead to fill the role of the socially privileged and religiously observant people who never hear the angel's summons and refuse to leave our comfort zones to visit a manger and to be transformed by its shocking message? each one of us is invited to come to the manger and take our place in the ongoing story, along with the outcasts, aliens, and border crossers who got it started. Whether we show up is up to each of us. Paul speaks of the manifold wisdom of God being made known to the principalities and the powers. We are invited to be made servants so that we can minister to those in darkness and then speak to the principalities and powers on behalf of those who suffer at the hands of those who fear difference and whose fear leads to hatred. And that hatred is often made manifest in violent death. It is Christ enlightening us from within who gives us the strength and the faith to proclaim the life-giving wisdom of the good news in the face of a broken, death-dealing world. It is Christ who is revealed in us and through us when we dare to remember that we are servants of the Holy One, commissioned to be stewards of God's grace for all people. With Paul on this epiphany, we are called to obey that Spirit's call. We are called to do more than observe. We are called to respond and to show forth the glory of God, which shines in us today, for the lives of all of God's beloved people depend on it. Amen.